Ghost Speaks Initiative. My name is Faye Play, and on this episode, we will be discussing art as expression, healing, and community impact with Noble Mozzie and Mark Thomason.
Hey, it's Faye. Welcome back to Building Bridges outside of Butte County. Today, I'm here with Mark Johnson, Able Abe, a local artist and designer from Santa Barbara and Sacramento. He went to high school in Orland. He came to Butte in 1991 and graduated here in Butte County in 2006. He says his art is inspired by comic book artists and Norman Rockwell. Our second guest is Mozzie Noble, a abstract artist born in Oklahoma and moved to Butte County in 1989. He graduated in Chico in 2007 and then worked as a graphic designer for some time, though now he's retired. All right, you two, say hi to our listeners.
Hello. Hello, hello. Out there.
Hello. Hello.
How are you two doing today?
Well, I'm doing well.
Another beautiful day on the planet.
Do you two want to get straight into the questions?
Sure.
Sounds good.
All right. The first question is, do you remember the first time art helped you express something you couldn't put into words?
Would you like to take that one, Mark?
I'll roll it off. Oh, here we go. I believe that happened sometime when I was in high school. I had a piece that I was working on that I didn't necessarily know where I was going to go with it. But I started just kind of with a certain amount of ideas, and it kind of carried. So it was to draw a piece of artwork on a bone. And
wow,
on a bone, that's
right.
Cool.
And the bone to me kind of looked like what's it called, those, you know, in chemistry they have the triangle shape.
Oh, like a graduated cylinder.
Yeah, but the other ones, and they kind of put them on fire and it bubbles, you know.
Oh, like a Bunsen burner.
Okay. Yeah. And so something like that. And so that's kind of what I went with. Inside what I painted was kind of like fun events in my life that I remembered.
Nice.
Yeah, fun memories. That's a great thing to express within your art. Like, I feel like art is a good thing to, like, capture their memories with photography nowadays or just simple videos. And, like, really putting your memories into your art and expressing it through, like, painting or drawing and stuff like that. But what about you, Mozzie?
Yeah, actually, my first time being able to use art to express something that I wasn't able to articulate myself with words was actually really early on in elementary school. I'm telling on myself here, but I was supposed to do a book report in like the third or fourth grade. I didn't do it. I was pretty bummed that I didn't.
Rule breaker.
Yeah, not good. And instead of reading the book, we had to create either a book report for the book, or we had to do a project of some sort. And I created an activity book. So it was kind of like a coloring book, but had other activities. It had stuff to color. It had a word search. It had a crossword puzzle. It had, like, actually a drawing cut up into puzzle pieces for you to put together.
Oh, that's really fun. What grade were you in when you said that this happened?
Third or fourth grade.
Wow, really expressing that creative energy early on.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell my teacher or my parents that I hadn't actually read the book. I probably should have, but I felt like I couldn't. And this was the way that I solved that. Yeah, it was definitely not the path that I should have taken, but it led me here.
It helped you express your creativity. You know, you made something fun. And even if you didn't do, you know, the specific assignment necessarily, at least you did something and got something out of it. What do you think you learned from that?
I learned that I have an innate sense of creativity. And I learned more about myself than anything. I just learned that I had the ability to do pretty much whatever I wanted. Yeah, I think that's what I learned. And then I forgot that when I got to college and had to relearn it.
Yeah. How'd that get graded? Like, how'd your teacher react?
Actually, I think that I'm surprised that I got away with it, because the author that I chose for the book that I didn't read, quotation marks, was famous author at the time. You know, even though I hadn't read all the books, I didn't know that she pretty much had read all of his books.
Oh, of course.
So she knew immediately that that book that I was reading from was not a book of his. But she still graded me pretty well. I think I got a B, a high B or a low A on that. And it was more just from the creativity aspect than it was from actually learning anything to report from the book.
That's really sweet that she still rewarded your creativity. And I think that teachers like that really help foster artists.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm glad that, like, you had someone there to help, like, foster that, you know, and support you. So that's really cool.
Absolutely.
All righty. Do you guys want to get on to the next question?
Yes.
Yes.
Why do you think art is sometimes treated as extra, even though it helps us process life? Why don't you start us off, Mark?
Why it feels extra? Well, I would say maybe because there's not so much money in it right away.
Definitely.
I think a lot of times it becomes something that is looked at as therapeutic, not something that you can immediately go and do and make some money at and be successful, or definitely be successful at. I mean, you can go and do art, but a lot of times it's just more or less for yourself, you know.
Yeah. What about you?
I would like to echo that sentiment. I think that art is not necessarily commodified, even though it is sort of, in the sense that studio art is really a specific genre and a specific exclusive crowd almost. But art can be made anywhere, at any time, with anything in your hand. You don't have to pay for any materials. You don't have to do anything that requires money in order to make it happen. Those things are definitely of an avenue, and you are pointed into that avenue, but you don't have to buy stuff in order to make it happen. And I think that is why art is treated as extra. It doesn't pay well. I mean,
As an artist,
I'm not getting paid very well about it yet. But the fact that it doesn't necessarily pay well, and there isn't a league to aspire to. It's very accessible by everybody in the spectrum, from rich to poor, from white to black, from sick to non-sick. Everybody has access to art for the most part.
Yeah, and that's beautiful. I think that people that push through and pursue their art anyways, like, that shows powerful, you know what I mean? Like, that is showing that you can still do it, because art is necessary. What are we as a community without art, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I saw a bumper sticker that said, "Earth without art, it's just eh."
Just eh. Right? Yeah.
It totally makes sense.
Definitely.
Take the art out of earth and you got EH and that's it.
Yeah, just eh.
Eh.
Nothing too special. No one wants to live in a place without art, you know what I mean?
I think it's also inspiration.
100%.
Looking at art gives you, or inspires, a feeling that you can't necessarily express any other way, just by looking at it, you know, experiencing what the artist maybe wanted to get across, but sometimes maybe picked up on something that the artist didn't have any intent of wanting the artwork to be a part or be of. And that can be very inspirational.
Yeah, exactly. I think that people forget that just one piece of art can really change someone's life and make them feel something, make them see a whole new perspective. And that our art is not extra. It's very important in that sense, you know what I mean? All right, do you guys want to move on to the next question?
Sure.
All right. How can young people use art to speak on issues they care about, like identity, justice, or mental health?
So, for me personally, I think I'm going to take this one if you're okay.
No, go
with that.
For it. Go
all right, all right. For me personally, art was something that helped me find an identity when I didn't think I really had one. Because I moved around a lot in early age, it was difficult to set any type of foundation, because every couple of years my foundation would be moved. Art was the one thing that was really constant in me and for me. I became the artist kid kind of as a survival mechanism, and it has now grown into a way that I can hopefully begin to support my family. And I think that for young people specifically, continuing to do art is a way of continuing to be sincere and genuine to yourself. I'm not sure if I'm making any sense.
No,
but
I totally understand what you're saying. I think a lot of young people have a hard time expressing themselves, or like really knowing who they are. And when they sit down to maybe draw, or maybe, I don't know, seeing whatever type of art they're making, they get to really think about the process and what they want to express with that. And it helps you find your identity, for sure.
Absolutely.
What about you, Mark?
Can you repeat the question?
How can young people use art to speak on issues they care about, like identity, justice, or mental health?
Getting it on the paper, getting it on the canvas. Because I think a lot of times ideas that we have in our head can get a little bit muddled up, you know? And you can express yourself a lot more if you just kind of spend that time just putting it on the paper. You know, even if you're a writer, write it out, you know, experiment with different mediums. I know a lot of the stuff that I, when I was a young kid, for me, art just kind of helped me kind of deal with being who I was as a young kid. A lot of the stuff that was happening around me and with the adults, I didn't really know what was happening. But just to be able to have a color crayons and a white notepad or whatever, just to kind of spend that time in there, I would get lost. I don't know. Tell stories on your paper.
For sure. I mean, like, as a young person, I do like to journal sometimes. And sometimes I even get kind of, like, poetic with it. Like, you know, it really helps you express feelings that, like, sometimes are otherwise, like, bottled up and you wouldn't really know what else to do with them. So, like, I definitely agree with that. Like, getting it down on paper really does help express yourself. And
I would like to just elaborate a little bit more on what you both just said. I totally agreed with what you both said, but I wanted to touch on something that Mark said. Art, visual art especially, but art in all forms allows for just a modicum of control, right? When you're a child and the adults are around you making these decisions, whether it's where you're going to live or where you're going to grow up or what school you're going to go to, being able to put pen to paper for whatever kind of art you make at takes back just a tiny semblance of control for a young person in that situation.
Okay.
So yeah. I wanted to make sure I said that because I felt a lot of out of control. I felt out of control most of the time. Mm-hmm. And the art was something that was a constant, but it also made me feel like a little bit of in control. Like I might not be able to control what school I'm going to or what town I live in, but I can control what this pencil is doing.
Yeah, you control what you're making.
I can make that line exactly how I want it, whether I need to erase it or not. I can do it.
For me, it was making my own characters.
Yeah.
It was making my own characters that I wanted to be around or wanted to do what they were doing, you know? That's what it was for me. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for those answers. They were really good answers. Let's get on to the fourth question. What advice would you give a young artist who's talented but doubts themselves?
Ooh, I shouldn't have said, I know what the answer is. Just do it. Just do it. You know, I mean, that's the only way you're going to get that confidence. If you are in a position where you are feeling some kind of doubt, just do it. It's really as simple as that. The more you're in your head about it, it's going to keep you from actually doing the work that's going to make you better. And, you know, that's your goal. If you really want to get better at something, you just got to do it. You got to put the time in. And it's going to be bad at first. But as you start and you start actually putting some time with it, you know, whether or not it's not looking like how you want it to be, because that's how most art is.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't look like how you want it to be at first, but once you get past that stage, get past yourself and just do the work, you know, I think you'll find something that you'll be happy with.
Yeah, Mark's like, if you're going to be fearful, like, it doesn't matter if you're fearful. You got to do it scared, man.
You have to do it scared. You have to do it ugly. You have to do it when you don't have all the materials that you want, or the perfect material or the perfect desk. I mean, we can find many ways where you can just keep yourself from actually doing the work if that's what you really want to do.
Yeah,
you
know? Definitely. It's not
the type of day I wanted to do. It's raining. I love to do work when it's raining. Mm-hmm. That's really for me. I like.
What about you, Mozzie?
So I think that the most powerful thing is just to keep going and recognize that even if it's not liked by the masses, even if it's not something that's understood by the masses, just keep going. Because especially, at least for me, in high school, there was this urge to fit in and not be an outcast. But I still felt like that. Right. Mm-hmm. And the art, the visual art, the drawings, the paintings and the things that I was able to do are what kind of helped keep me sane. Mm-hmm. And it helped me recognize that there is power in being different.
Absolutely.
There is power in not being what everybody else is, because newsflash, once you get out of high school and you get into college or into the real world, you oftentimes don't want to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
Like you need to separate yourself in some way in order to succeed. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You need to be an individual. And I think that in high school, because we're all looking to try to figure out how to be that and be our authentic selves, we want to really just blend in until we figure that out.
Yeah.
But I want young people to know that being different in that way is not a bad thing. It is probably the ultimate goal.
That's probably going to make you who you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like the message of never stop, never stop. Because, as you were saying, like, I feel like that affects, like, the art, too. Like, when you're making art, you start wanting to make things, like, that fit, like, the majority of people, like, you know, keep going, even if people don't understand it, is, like, an important message. Like, don't appeal to the masses. Make what you want to make and express what you want to express, and then you're going to find other people that understand you. You're going to find your group of people, your little group of outcasts that'll understand your art.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Commercial artists.
Commercial artists or con artists. Although I wanted to be a commercial artist in school. That was what I kind of went for. Graphic design is the new term for the commercial artist. I wanted to be a graphic designer because I felt like if I could make the logos, then I could reach people in a way that my art necessarily couldn't, because my art wasn't always understood. But I thought logos could be understood by everybody.
Yeah, and absolutely. I think that's actually like a really cool thing to try to go into. And like, I do like the idea of that.
It definitely can.
It's got a lot of strict rules. Nope. And then, I'm not about that so much anymore.
Yeah, most artists don't want to adhere to strict rules. They want to express themselves, and strict rules don't allow that. You know, there are no rules to art.
But sometimes, you know, speaking from experience myself, I worked as a graphic designer, editorial designer for the Chico News and Review newspaper here.
Right.
So I was working every week and trying to force that creativity every week. And throughout my 2 years of working at that, you can look at the body of work and recognize there were moments when I was really feeling it. Yeah. And then there were more moments where I was not feeling it at all.
Yeah.
And you can tell in just the artwork or the editorial layout that's done. I got a little bit off track there because I wanted to say that sometimes that box where they put you in is where you can find your creativity inside that box.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to say. Sometimes I found that creativity. I found that sweet spot inside the box.
Yeah.
And you can see it in the layout of the papers that I designed.
Definitely.
I think one of the covers I did was for Anicia Johnson.
Okay.
And for a cover story they did about her, and I did the artwork for it, and it's one of my like one of the pieces that I'm most proud of.
Yeah.
Not only because of the artwork, but because of the story and the subject matter that was involved.
The story gave me the opportunity to show that, right?
Yes. That's one of the other things that art does. You talked about how it makes you feel like you are, for lack of a better word, in control.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you talked about seeing wanting to draw the characters that you wanted to be with. For me, it was about taking the characters that I did see and making them look like me.
Okay.
So like, I have a whole bunch of Black Bart Simpson drawings. I have a whole bunch of drawings from when I was a kid about the Looney Tunes, and I gave them all afros and stuff.
Hey,
you know, so it helps with the representation of visually, especially, and it was important for me to really put that out. I think that's why I did such a good job on that Anicia Johnson cover story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like when it comes to like I definitely agree that sometimes being a commercial artist like does kill creativity. But as you were saying, like you still found like moments where you got to be creative and express your creative freedom, and like you really liked one of the pieces that you made while working as a graphic designer. And like that's like a good point to be made. Like if you want to go into the art industry, like sure you got to understand that's going to be hard, and like you know it's gonna feel like work sometimes. You're not always gonna be your most creative, but like you can still do it and you can still enjoy it. There's still a lot of people that work within the art industry that really enjoy what they do. So not to like, you shouldn't like doubt yourself or feel like, oh, I can never be an artist for work, because like, yeah, you definitely can be.
Especially now.
Yeah,
especially now.
Yeah, I'm a culture.
Shout out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's
exactly
how I met you guys.
And,
Yeah.
And that's the other thing, too. If you're going to go into the field of art, whether it's visual art, songs, music, poetry, or whatever, there's going to be a lot of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are not going to get your art at all.
Yeah.
For me, it was the rejection came in college.
Ooh.
When the professors who were supposed to be cultivating my creativity, I felt like squashed it because it didn't fit in what they saw as graphic design.
Yeah.
And it took me a really long time. Like, I'm 47 and I'm like just now getting over it, getting past
you
that.
You have to unlearn it. It's difficult.
You really do.
Yeah, but like, as Mozzie said, like, you can't give up. Like, there's going to people that, like, be people that discourage you, people that think that your art isn't, like, worth anything, like, if for being professional or whatnot. But, like, you will find people that appreciate your art, and you will find ways to make it a part of your life, a big part of your life. And you shouldn't give up on that, even if it's difficult sometimes. And even if there's a lot of rejection, I feel like that is something that, a skill that a lot of artists need to learn how to have, and that is to learn to be rejected and then keep pushing forward to finally find that acceptance. Because you will find that acceptance. You know, there's a place for everyone.
But you will be rejected on your way to that place.
Yeah.
Almost every time, almost certainly.
Yeah, but to succeed, you must feel.
It's a given.
I still
got some time then.
You still got some time.
That explains my behavior.
100%. All righty. Fifth question. How can art bring people together across cultures, ages, or neighborhoods?
Would you like to answer that one?
Sure.
Yeah,
it gives an opportunity to share personal experiences. I think also heritage, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, someone explaining to me that the reason why certain art looks a certain way is because of someone's ancestor believed in a certain thing, I think opens the opportunity for me to want to learn more about that heritage, culture.
Culture. Yeah, definitely.
The way the person creates the art gives me an opportunity to know or learn more about, certain ways they use the art to kind of express themselves. So I think, yeah, it opens the door for a conversation. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Cultural arts is a really cool thing because there's a lot of different techniques that a lot of different cultures use. And it's always really fun to learn about that stuff. And like, I don't know, learning like different kinds of arts is like a very fun thing. And I feel like there's a lot of different kinds across cultures, and that can really help you connect to different cultures, mm-hmm. and get to know more about people.
Yeah.
What about you, Mozzie?
I think that especially my visual art, because most of the time I'm speaking about visual art because that's where I spend most of my time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that visual art has a way of building connection,
mm-hmm.
Because two people who are just separate on the outside looking at each other, like me, a 47-year-old black dude, and a 10-year-old white kid, may not on the surface have anything in common, but mm-hmm. if I draw a picture of, or I paint a picture of tree trunks from the cartoon Adventure Time, both of us connect on it.
Yeah,
because we recognize that character,
mm-hmm.
and now this kid recognized that, hey, this guy might be a little bit easier to talk to.
Yeah, we can talk about Adventure Time. We have similar interests, stuff like that.
So,
yeah.
No, I made the mistake of watching that with my daughter when she was way too young, but we were both laughing, so it was like, I can't take it back now.
It's a children's show, but it does get heavy in the later seasons.
Very, very ethereal in the later seasons, and for me, that's why it was such a great show.
I think that's like that's the best like children's shows, in my personal opinion, is like when they have like depth like later on, but there's still a lot of moments where they're lighthearted, fun, mm-hmm. funny, so the children can enjoy them and then the adults can enjoy them. They're for everyone.
Absolutely.
You know, that's awesome. But yeah, absolutely. I think that it really helps you relate to one another. I know that when I was like, I go online a lot, and when I see like pieces that really like resonate with me, like situations that I feel like I've been in, or like people expressing like, you know, struggles that I've been through, I feel like, wow, people actually get me. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I feel like alone in some of the struggles that I go through, and I feel like, oh, I don't know why I'm not like other people, and then I realize there are other people like me, you know?
Do we need to hold hands?
Do we need to hold hands?
We can all do it.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, really, it's really a good way to put it. All right, now we're gonna get into the closing questions. Is that all right with you guys?
Absolutely.
All righty. What's one message you want young people listening to this podcast to carry with them this week?
I want young people, actually, I want young and old to recognize this. Creating art is your superpower. Like, at least for me, when I was in high school, the artists in my school were pretty much untouched, right? Mm-hmm. There's all a whole bunch of cliques in high school, right. Jocks and whatever, right?
Yeah.
But all the artist kids were just left alone and kind of respected for the art they could create. Mm-hmm. And I want to just let everyone know that that's your superpower.
Absolutely.
You can skate through a lot of instances and situations in society just by being an artist and having that vision, because it also allows you... it seems to make you a little bit more articulate, at least in mm-hmm. emotions with humans. You're more emotionally articulate than, mm-hmm. say, someone who's just running around
exactly.
in high school existing.
And, like, as we were talking about earlier, I feel like it really, it helps you connect with people. Everyone likes art. There's not most people. Anyone that doesn't like art, you're weird. Something's wrong. But, like, everyone likes art, you know? It makes you likable. Everyone enjoys it, and, like, you get respect for that, you know? You get respect for creating, and it helps you, I don't know, it helps people understand you, relate to you, stuff like that. What about you? What about you, Mark?
I'm going to riff off this, what Mozzie was saying.
That
being an artist, I think a lot of times people look at me and think that they can't do that. And so mm-hmm. they don't even get a chance to go to their superpower because they already think they don't have it. They don't have the opportunity. And I think everyone has art in them somehow, some way.
Absolutely.
It may not look like what I'm doing or Mozzie's doing, mm-hmm. but I think you have it. You just got to find it, experiment, find mm-hmm. ways to kind of, you know, search that out in yourself.
Find what you need.
You know, it may be music. It may be writing. You know, superpowers come in many different ways.
Exactly. Everyone has that superpower, and they just have to find the right way to use it. You know, there's so many different kinds of art out there. You know, and for every person, a different kind of art will be easier for them. Writing, songwriting, you know, like a visual art, you know, all different kinds of things that you can do. And people just need to experiment to realize that they can make something great.
I think so.
Before we wrap it up, I just want to give a special thanks. Thank you both for coming. I enjoyed this interview so much. All right, listeners, we're going to head out now. Bye. This program has been made possible by funds from the City of Chico Arts Commission, the California Arts Council, Game Amp Play, and by KZFR 90.1 FM. Extended episodes can be found on the Game Amp Play Patreon or on our website, gameamp.org, spelled GAMEAMP.ORG.
Welcome to the Project Censored Radio Show on Pacifica Radio. I am your co-host, Eleanor Goldfield. This week, first up, Dr. Gerald Horn comes back on the program to ring in 250 years of the U.S. Project. How is that going? Dr. Horn sets the record straight not only about what's missing in our ever-censored history books, but how that affects our understanding of issues and struggles today. As James Baldwin noted, history is not past. We discuss the selective teaching and pedestaling of state-sanctioned violence, the moving target of whiteness, and more. Next up, Jose Luis Granado Ceja comes back on the show, this time to dig into Honduras Gate, the ongoing plot to oust leftist governments in Latin America, using narco-terrorism as an excuse to covertly attack sovereignty across the region, and what these escalations mean for people across the Americas, including right here at home. Because imperialism is a home game. All this and more coming up this week on Project Censored.
The apocalypse, got the skies looking ominous. So the ocean burned bright with waves full of poison. Genocide wars fought for little poison. The weapons manufactured.
Welcome to the Project Censored radio show on Pacifica Radio. I am your co-host, Eleanor Goldfield, and here's some of the news that didn't make the news for the week of June 1st. So there's never much focus on environmental news in corporate media, so